Live from the mist-enshrouded mountaintop fortress that is X and Y Communications headquarters, you're listening to the world-famous Mountaintop Podcast. And now, here's your host, Scott McKay.
Hello again, gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Mountaintop Podcast. My name is Scott McKay, at Scott McKay on Twitter, at Scott McKay on Parler, Real Scott McKay on Instagram. YouTube is Scott McKay. You can also find us on the web at mountaintoppodcast.com. And I invite you to join us on Facebook with the ever-growing group of men who want more out of their lives, better women, better careers, more adventure. That is, of course, the Facebook group that's called the Mountaintop Summit. With me today is a new friend of mine. He is a dating coach for men, just like I am. And he was born in Phoenix, Arizona, and then raised in London with two American parents, and is now back in the United States in California. And I'm sure with his British accent, that makes for very interesting first date conversation. So without anything further, here he is, Ryan Black. Ryan, welcome, man.
Thanks very much for having me. I imagine people were wondering, what's he going to sound like?
Yeah, exactly. You and I were kind of having some fun with that before we hit record on this show. And you were talking about how when you were younger, you ended up sounding kind of mid-Atlantic, like, say, William F. Buckley Jr., or virtually any old school movie star from the golden age of Hollywood. And it's like nobody talks like that anymore. So the whole mid-Atlantic thing is so old school. But yeah, like you're a fellow who grew up in the UK and got himself the British accent and is now back here in the United States as an American like the rest of us. But I'm sure the women love that accent. It's got to be a feather in your cap, huh?
Yeah, well, that was the thing. So for like growing up, the UK culture is quite repressive. And so I grew up with a lot of sort of negative beliefs and things like that around sort of being polite and respectful and all this stuff. And so, and the other thing about growing up is we want to fit in and things like that. So I would go back and forth. In England, I'd be English. In America, I'd be an American just to fit in and just to basically avoid being singled out, being different. And then after a certain point, I was like, wait, actually, as we sort of become older and things like that, it's a good thing to stand out. It's a good thing to be a little bit different. And yeah, one of those things for sure in this country is having an English accent. Immediately people assume that you know what you're talking about and you're intelligent. When as you can clearly tell for me, it's absolutely couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah, but you're right. There's a halo effect associated with having that sophisticated sounding British accent. But then again, every bad guy in action adventure movies from Hollywood always seems to have a British accent as well.
Well, I think women like the bad guys, don't they? They like the bad boy.
I suppose.
So that can work in your favor too.
But meanwhile, in the year 2020, in the UK, they've finally given in and started saying hi and okay, which they used to make fun of Americans for uprariously about 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah? What were you supposed to say? Good afternoon.
Oh, hello, not hi. And all right, not okay.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, you're right. And hi were like the stereotypical Americanisms. Rather like we'd make fun of the English for saying cheerio or something like that, you know.
Yeah, which like no one said since about 1948.
Right, exactly. Meanwhile, everybody in the UK is now saying hi and okay, I've noticed.
The big one for me was about 10 years ago when English people started saying dude. And I was like,
Yes, and calling girls guys too. Like, hey guys, how you doing? To a bunch of girls. Yeah, that's an Americanism for sure.
But yeah, that was a huge thing for me. One crazy thing going into kind of what's going on with dating and things like that is I had a lot of this anxiety around sort of, I guess, being the correct version of myself that I should be or saying and doing the right thing. And I ended up going to university in the US. And I remember in the orientation for the first, it was like 3 days of orientation. And one entire day of that was dedicated solely to things to do with sexual assault and rape and like what constituted that. And they gave all the girls like rape whistles during those things, which of course they went out and got drunk and everyone was blowing rape whistles all weekend. And I think that's a really common thing with guys and dating and stuff that's going on now is even before COVID and everything, guys have a lot of insecurities and a lot of worry now about, is it okay for me to even express myself to a woman that I find attractive? Like, is it okay to have these natural desires? Is it okay for me to say, hey, I find you attractive? And there was a lot of that, especially for me, like that's something I worked through for a long, long time, was that all this fear and all this anxiety around that.
Yeah, no doubt. When they have these HR events where they herd all the men and all the women either separately or apart into a room and say, okay, here are boobies. Don't stare at them. You know, the women seem to kind of instinctively understand that one bad apple made this day necessary. And they kind of laugh it off and they're blowing their whistles at the happy hour afterwards and whatever, kind of making light of it. Meanwhile, all the men are scared stiffless because they're like, oh my God, if I even talk to a woman, she's going to be able to cry rape or something and I'm going to get fired. So yeah, there's a lot of fear surrounding this idea that, hey, you know what? My own company just told me I'm evil and horrible simply for being a heterosexual male with heterosexual male tendencies. And yet what I think a lot of guys need to relax and get over themselves a little bit about is that, hey, you know, regardless of what you've been told from the politically correct police and from the angry mob out there who doesn't like men anymore in the name of feminism with a capital F or whatever, most women who are heterosexual still like men and they still like having heterosexual sex with men and they don't dislike us. They don't fear us unless we give them reason to fear. And it's really okay to act like a man and go out and meet some women. It's just a lot of guys, they don't feel safe doing that. And a lot of women really don't understand that men don't feel safe talking to them. Because if you ask your garden variety attractive woman out there why guys aren't asking her out or approaching her or even talking to her, she's going to tell you, well, because they're not interested. That's got to be the only reason. After all, I'm just a girl. Why would he be afraid of me, right?
Yeah, totally. Now what's going on is guys had all of these sort of limiting beliefs and all the stuff. And now we've coupled that, we've added to that with all the anxiety and all the fear that the media is creating about COVID. So people are even more shut off to sort of normal human social interaction, which is something we need to be healthy and be happy. Now if you have any ability or any sort of motivation to go out and sort of develop social skills and just be social, interact with people, it's like almost incumbent upon you to actually use those and do that, because people are so shut off now. If you can give just a little bit of something unusual, put a smile on someone's face and just spread a little bit of positivity right now, you're already like light years ahead of the average guy.
Yeah, I would say that's definitely true. One thing I had to admit to this audience a couple shows ago was that I was wrong about something very key about 3 or 4 months ago when the whole lockdown thing started. I was expecting everybody to be, oh man, just ready to go out and be social after having been locked up for so many months, and that women would be happy to date again and ready to get out there with a smile on their face. And the exact opposite thing seems to be happening, Ryan. Everybody's like, hey, this is my new normal. I've got a new habit here. I stay at home and do nothing. Women are at home with a pint of Ben and Jerry's and men are at home with internet porn. And, you know, I talked about this, like I said, just a couple weeks ago on the show. And that's unfortunate because things didn't get better. We didn't have a big, massive wake-up call, I anticipated, to the need to be social again and get off the damn social media and stop collecting likes. It's like the exact opposite has happened. And on top of that, considering we haven't really emerged into whatever the new normal is, for goodness sakes, from COVID-19. We're still in the midst of the pandemic here as we record this. I'm seeing actual serious articles posted on the blogs of online dating sites and apps saying, hey, you should wear a mask in the bedroom when having sex. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You know,
my girlfriend and I walk around Santa Monica and we just constantly sort of laughing at people and stuff like that. And we saw something the other day. We're coming back from the beach and there was a couple holding hands with masks on, wearing gloves. And we were just like, what is that? Like, when they get home, what is that sex like? Is he wearing like 10 condoms or like what is going on with these people?
I imagine they're playing doctor with a role play.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, you know what's funny? I don't usually respond to dumbass posts on Twitter because it's just not worth it. Nobody's listening anyway. OkCupid has the world's worst Twitter feed. First of all, they're saying, if you're politically conservative in any way, shape, or form, you're basically undateable. And they won't just come right out and say that as often as they make some kind of passive aggressive jibe about it, which of course fits their narrative. And they said something to the effect of, if you don't wear a mask, you probably suck in bed too. And I couldn't help myself, Ryan. I had to. I just couldn't contain myself. I said, well, you know, it seems to me that if you're wearing a mask, you inherently can't suck. And I got a whole bunch of likes, you know. But what has this world come to? I mean, I understand the need for masks. But by God, if you're dating someone holding hands and are in a relationship, guess what? I don't care what you do. You're going to get this virus from each other. It's going to happen. All right. You're not going to quarantine yourself from each other. Trying to make out through the mask isn't going to work. And you know what I think? I think it was appearances. I think it was to keep the PC police off their back in public, which is people just acting like sheeple. I mean, I'm all for wearing a mask. I see the value of it. The Asian folks have been doing it since before H1N1. I get it. But I also have to laugh at people just wanting to fit in because someone told them they needed to. And that's never a good look for anybody.
That's the thing as well. It's like, for me, from a female perspective, I would look at a guy wearing a mask and be like, that's less attractive to me, because an attractive trait in general is a guy who's willing to kind of play life by his own rules and does what he wants and doesn't give a shit what other people think. So I know, to me, the exact opposite. It's like, if I see a guy not wearing a mask when everybody else is, I'd be like, ah, that guy fucks.
Right. Well, exactly. I'm glad you said that, because now I don't feel like an outlier in that visceral feeling that I've felt personally. When I see a woman who's kind of attractive and she's the one not wearing a mask, like at the grocery store or out in public, I'm thinking the risk taker. She's the one who lives in the moment, and she's the one who's a little naughty and flaunts the rules. And I'm thinking exactly the opposite of what OkCupid said. I'm thinking she's going to be the one who's the tiger in bed.
And by the way, what a great way to start that conversation, right? You look around, everyone's wearing while she is, and you're like, oh, being a bit naughty, are we?
Well, and on top of that, she's the only one whose face you can actually see.
Exactly. You actually be able to see if she smiles.
Right. So clearly she would probably be the one you'd choose to talk to anyway, right? You'll be able to read her facial expressions, even the micro expressions that are going to give you the signals you need to know as to whether she's enjoying this conversation and is into you or not. It only makes sense. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I was just talking to one of my students in one of my programs, and he's sort of trying to go back and forth on text and messaging with this girl. And he messaged me and he's like, oh, this girl keeps saying this when I try to meet up with her. And she just goes like, oh, I'm not trying to meet up with anyone right now. And I'm just like, this is a fundamental shift in mindset that I think is really important. Whatever it is, like game, dating techniques and stuff like that, it's not about trying to convince someone to do something that they like don't want to do. It's not about sort of mind controlling people to do what you want them to do. Like, my response to him is like, okay, just go find and start a conversation with a girl who is looking to meet up with people, like who isn't wearing masks, who isn't worried about all this stuff, instead of trying to convince someone who is clearly afraid to like not be afraid. Like, dating techniques and all this stuff, it's not about making people do things that you want them to do. It's just about finding the people that resonate with who you are already and just moving things forward.
I think it's at least worth making one suggestion. Hey, you know, it'll be okay. I'm not going to give you the virus. I'm feeling pretty healthy. And if she's still very skittish and simply won't do it, and she seems pretty set in her ways, then absolutely. But as guys have probably already figured out, the discussion here today is on meeting women in the post-COVID-19 world, in the new normal. And certainly we haven't completely emerged from the COVID-19 pandemic. A lot of this is going on. But I do believe, like you said, a lot of guys are already feeling more trepidation instead of a healthy, exciting sense of anticipation towards what's going to come, as if it's not going to be easier to meet women from now on. There is no wake-up call. It's going to be a lot more difficult. And people are growing impatient. The dating apps are getting worse, not better. And it just seems like online isn't the answer. And meeting women offline right now is next to impossible, with fewer people out and everybody staying kind of focused. Some places like where you are in California, really virtually not even open yet. And other places closing right back down after the perception they've opened too early. And, you know, people are all behind a mask. It's not fun. It's not easy. So I'd love to start talking about some practical suggestions for guys to maybe deal with these new challenges in the nearly new normal. And perhaps also we can talk about some ways that we anticipate things will indeed get a little better along the way. Maybe the timeline for that, and some strategies associated with that too. But I guess the best place to start is right now. What are you telling guys to do right now if they want to get a woman in their life? I know I've talked to several guys who are like, you know, I'd love to have a girlfriend. I've decided during this whole COVID thing, I really just need one great woman in my life. Why can't I just meet one great woman? Where would I meet her? What are your ideas for guys?
So I think part of the thing is what I always say about online dating stuff is if you're going to use it, definitely don't rely on it for like 100% of your dates or your interactions, because it just creates a terrible mindset around scarcity. And you're essentially commoditizing yourself. When you put your profile out on one of the bigger apps, you're competing with hundreds of thousands of other guys. She's just there swiping away and you don't have any power or any control over that interaction. It's a terrible place to put yourself in. But what that means is, especially now, the art of having an interaction is starting a conversation. If you're just able to do a little something, you're already miles ahead of everybody else. Instead of putting yourself in a situation where there's like hundreds of thousands of guys that you're competing against, put yourself in a situation where you're in basically a blue ocean, where no one else is competing against you. And that is like everyday daytime interactions, which we all still have to do. As much as bars and everything might be locked down, you can go to the store. You need to go to the store to get some stuff. There'll be girls walking around. Not all of them might be wearing masks or whatever it is. And you can start conversations, just regular, normal conversations, get a little smile, be a little bit cheeky, say something a little bit different and unusual. And literally at this point, that is enough to be like the most unique, interesting guy she's ever met. It can literally be that simple.
Yeah, because with this social pressure comes people getting more skittish, people becoming more scared, guys not becoming less shy, but more so. So I would agree with you. I would say if you can be the man who, in the midst of all this, grows a pair and actually summons that courage to talk to women and be charming, even when everybody else is acting like collectively a bunch of chicken littles out there, or chickens little, you're going to stand out more than ever. I love it. It's true.
Yeah, absolutely right. And that's the thing. It's like by being willing to go a little bit out of your way and push against that little bit of social pressure that exists, especially now, even more so, you're showing an enormous amount of very attractive qualities very early on in this interaction. You're able to create a lot of emotion in her very quickly, and you're separating yourself as unique and different, and a guy who goes for what he wants and acknowledges there's rules or whatever, but then goes, you know what, I'm going to break these because I really want to meet you. And that is incredibly powerful and attractive to her.
Yeah, you're a confident man and you're going out of your way to choose her, to select her from a position of confidence, which says to that woman, hey, this guy's done this before. He's expecting women to like him. And then if you can succeed at making her feel safe and comfortable in your presence, you're in, right? Another thing you talked about is online dating. You alluded to how men are commoditizing themselves by throwing themselves into the mix. And I have to tell you, I used to actively coach men to work very hard in their online dating presence, not to limit their dating pool. In other words, unless you campaigned for one side or the other, please put that you're middle of the road when it comes to politics, unless you really care that much. Don't put anything in your profile that's going to chase certain women away who don't necessarily need to be chased away. But I'll tell you what, in line with what you've said, Ryan, in the past year and a half about, I've started teaching the exact opposite. I've been telling guys, hey, you know what? You're going to get lost in a sea of banality with all the other men trying to cast a wide net out there. And you're simply going to have women collecting your likes and not knowing how to sort you from the myriad of other men out there who seem on surface exactly like you. And what I'm telling these guys to do instead is to absolutely be ruthless in calling out the kind of woman you want. I mean, if you vote a certain way and you want your future girlfriend, possibly even wife, to vote a certain way, tell her so. If you want a tomboy girl who has a ponytail hanging out of the back of her ball cap and drives a Jeep and scuffs her knees and gets her fingernails dirty, tell her she's that way. If she's more like a princess and wears dresses even when they're not necessary and has a very sophisticated outlook on life, tell her that. Give a woman out there, a very specific woman you're talking to, the reason to say, hey, that's me he's talking to. And that, I would purport, is the only way to break through. And I'm using my words carefully here, to a woman who's so immensely popular, she's getting a couple hundred guys a day interested in her, and make her think, hey, you know, there's the connection that I'm looking for. In the midst of all these guys, you know, God knows what they want other than to get in my pants, she's thinking, here's a guy who actually wants a woman who's a lot like I really, really am. And that's the only way I'm seeing guys get success online. But here's the caveat, Ryan. It's incredibly hard for most guys to even figure out who that woman is and who they're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely right. I would totally agree about being willing to be somewhat divisive and getting really, really clear on exactly what it is that you want, both physical attributes, but obviously personality, stuff like that. The one thing I'd add is just, you're absolutely right in the last thing you said, where when guys are starting out with this and they're just getting good at it and they're just going out and going on dates and stuff, you're probably not so clear because you just don't have that much reference experience of the things that are real sort of deal breakers for you and turnoffs and things like that. And I would say starting out, just use every avenue you can to get as much sort of lead flow or whatever opportunities in, whether walking around outside, meeting women outside, through social circle, through online dating. You just want to broaden the possibilities. The reason is because when you do that, you'll have enough abundance, or if it's easier to have the feeling of abundance that you have a lot of choices, a lot of women that you're, you know, texting back and forth. And that creates the indifference to be able to kind of say and do what you feel and what you want, instead of being worried and being needy about needing one particular reaction or one particular situation or conversation to go well.
Most guys who come to me and say, I can't get any women to go out with me, what I ask them, Ryan, is how many women have you invited to go out with you? How many women have you actually talked to and asked out? And the answer is almost invariably zero.
Yeah.
And that kind of falls in line with what you're saying about having a few options, because once you have a couple women in your life who you find reasonably attractive and they like you back, you're, like the word you used, indifferent in a way. But you're also a lot more enabled and empowered. You know there are two women out there who approve of you. So the third one who doesn't, is it going to harm you emotionally? Is it going to make you feel as quote-unquote rejected, as if that would have been the first and only time you've actually tried to approach and talk to a woman, say, in the last 6 months or 2 years or 10 years? I call that having two bonanzas. If you can just get two really sexy women, or women you're at least attracted to like you back, you're going to have a lot more confidence in asking the third one out.
Yeah, absolutely right. And that's what indifference, the way I use it, isn't so much like, oh, I don't care or whatever, which is usually probably like an ego reaction thing that's not real. Indifference is just not tying yourself emotionally to any one particular outcome. And that's what you need to have to be able to go into situations and be able to be present and just express yourself, say how you feel, and not worry too much about saying the right thing or doing the right thing to get a certain reaction. But that ability to have that self-amusement, and that is, doesn't really matter what you're doing or what you're saying, just the fact that you're very indifferent to what the outcome is and you don't really care or mind what people think of you, that in itself is a very attractive trait.
Well, it's like I've said before on this show, a lot of guys get caught up because as men, we're competitive beings. And we see meeting and attracting and seducing women as a sport, and you're going to win or you're going to lose. Whereas when you talk to a woman, she doesn't see it that way at all. This is a guy talking to me. But we see it as a competition, not merely a conversation. Because first of all, we as guys look at a woman who's sexy and we think, oh, I would love to have a piece of her. So in your mind, you've already pre-approved her. You want, and perhaps even need emotionally, for her to approve you. And if she rejects you, it hurts and you've been beaten by a girl and all these really socially negative things. But in reality, all we're doing is talking to her. I mean, she may have bad breath, a kind of voice we don't like. She may just get on our nerves. And after we go have a simple conversation with her, and what guys don't realize or don't take the time to remind themselves of, I guess is a better way to put it, is that when you initiate a conversation with a woman, you have a choice. You have the option of continuing that conversation with her and seeing where it goes, inviting her to talk to you again sometime, or saying, hey, you know, it was nice meeting you, but thanks, but no thanks, and kind of move on, perhaps without those rude words to her. But you're not locked in to this competition to the death where she accepts you or rejects you. You're evaluating her too. You have that right. And that alone is very liberating to a lot of guys, that just because I'm talking to a woman doesn't tie me to either being accepted or rejected to begin with. I mean, hey, Ryan, I'm a married man and I start conversations and talk to women all the time, but I don't have any more expectation for an outcome with them than I do ordering my lunch from a waitress or going to the bank and talking to the teller. I mean, I expect lunch or I expect my money to be deposited. But similarly, when I'm talking to a woman, I don't have any expectation. I just am trying to help her day be a little brighter and be social. And in a world where people are forgetting to do that more than ever, I mean, it was a pandemic unto itself before the pandemic that is COVID-19 even came about. But even now, I mean, women are almost shocked when you do talk to them. And when you're actually friendly and put them at ease, they're reminded that they actually like human interaction. And it's actually kind of nice to talk to a guy for a change.
Yeah, absolutely. Following on from that, which is a great example, the thing I say about actually once you're in the conversation with the girl that you might have approached or whatever, is what you're doing in that conversation is you're not trying to say or do the right thing that's going to get her to sort of become attracted to you or become interested in you. What you're doing is you're allowing her the opportunity to show you the qualities about herself that are the things that you look for and that you want in a girl, because you need to know, you need to find out, is this a person that I actually want to spend more time with in the future or not? And that flipping the script dynamic, most guys spend most of their interactions with women that they find attractive trying to prove all the stuff to them, right? Like just like this competition kind of mindset. And in fact, it's very liberating, just as you say it, to step back and be okay, just be present, be comfortable, listen to what she has to say, and then decide, is this someone that I want to spend more time with again or not?
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? Bringing this full circle, when you get right down to it, human beings have not changed. We still have a need to be social. It's just at this very moment in time, we have a few stumbling blocks called COVID-19 and wearing masks and temporary lockdowns and online dating overwhelm in place that ostensibly make things different. But I'll tell you, if guys just stay the course, continue to believe on what's truly attractive to women and act on it, I think we're all going to be okay. And with that, I want to go ahead and give these guys a chance to see your website with their very own eyes, Ryan. And they can do that by going to mountaintoppodcast.com/black, B-L-A-C-K. And when you guys go to that website, you're going to find lots of really excellent resources, including a download on how to get better with your text messages, which can't suck at all during a time like this. And that and much more is there for you when you go to mountaintoppodcast.com/black, B-L-A-C-K. Ryan Black from Santa Monica, California, by way of London, by way of Phoenix. Thank you for joining us today. It's been an incredibly fun conversation. And frankly, full of some good information I think guys need to remind themselves of. So thank you so much.
Thanks very much for having me.
Yeah, definitely. And gentlemen, a quick reminder to go check out mountaintoppodcast.com. If you've never talked to me free for 25 minutes, now's the time to do so. The new normal is going to happen and you're going to be the one who decides it. If there's anything we figured out from this show today, it's that. And yes, you can and should have control over that. Click the red button in the upper right-hand corner of the site. Talk to me one-on-one. You won't get one of my junior greenhorns. You'll talk to me personally on the phone. I'm exactly the guy you think I'm going to be, and it won't cost you a dime. You can sign up on my calendar right there on the site. And while you're there, visit our sponsors, including Hero Soap. Smell good, feel good, without the nasty chemicals. And make sure you buy a couple extra bars of this excellent soap so that you can have it for when women, want to take a shower with you or something. You could do a lot worse. That's there for you at mountaintoppodcast.com/Hero Soap. And every time you buy something from Hero Soap, a little bit of that money goes to support wounded veterans. And that's a very good cause. The guys at Keyport are now coming out with different colors for their pivots. And the pivot is the everyday carry item that has an LED torch in it. You can put your keys in it. And now they've got it. So they're just rolling this out, by the way. They've got it so you can open your garage door with it. You can put a USB on it. It is definitely a 21st century do-it-all MacGyver-like item that replaces anything that merely looks like your grandfather's old-school penknife. That's there for you at mountaintoppodcast.com, Keyport, K-E-Y-P-O-R-T. And I definitely want to also remind you that the guys at Origin in Maine, which is Jocko Willink's company, are back in the saddle, hand-making you their factory jeans and their amazing boots. You'll look like $1 million. The jeans and the boots are comfortable, handmade with U.S. built quality. And what you got to do is go over to mountaintoppodcast.com/origin, O-R-I-G-I-N, and literally get a load of what they've got for you. The fashion sense is amazing, and the utility is even more so. And don't forget also, you can get Mulk, which is the world's best protein powder there. The supplements are designed to help you feel better and to combat COVID-19. They now have extra strength D3 amongst other excellent supplements, and it's all there for you at mountaintoppodcast.com/origin. All three of these sites, Keyport, Hero Soap, and Origin, all you have to do is enter Mountain10 at checkout and get 10% off from each of our sponsors. You can see it all at mountaintoppodcast.com. And until I talk to you again real soon, this is Scott McKay from XMY Communications in San Antonio, Texas. Be good out there.
The Mountaintop Podcast is produced by XMY Communications. All rights reserved worldwide. Be sure to visit www.mountaintoppodcast.com for show notes. And while you're there, sign up for the free XMY Communications newsletter for men. This is Ed Roy Odom speaking for the Mountaintop Podcast.